a writer for HagmanReport.com and American Thinker. If you, in fact, if you click on the description in the BTR in the archives section, it'll take you to Peter Berichoka's archives of the American Thinker. We're developing a system of archives as well. He's one of the most prolific writers I've known, and he's got his finger on the pulse of what's really taking place with respect to the media, American media. And it was last week where I was talking about the 93% CNN, MSNBC talking about Donald Trump in the negative versus 52% Fox in the positive. And I so wanted to get him on the air and talk about those numbers as well as the latest at Fox News, because in my view, Fox News is that speed bump, is that gate, is that last bastion. Yeah, because that 52% that Fox News, once that goes, so too does our ability. So too does anything that remotely resembling fair and balanced. And the target, in my opinion, as we've talked about so many times, is to take down Sean Hannity. And the very person to talk about this and other things is my good friend, and I'm very proud to be able to call him a good friend of the show, a very prolific writer and a very intelligent man, Peter Berichoka. Peter, thanks for joining us today.
And thank you, Doug. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
And I really appreciate it. We got you, got your picture of your cat up there. Thank you so much. I love it. Peter, in this morass that we're looking at with respect to the accusations flying now, the sexual harassment accusations, where do we start? I mean, what's going on here? What in the world? Can you help me out with this? I know you know what's going on, better than anyone. So where do we even start?
Well, I have spent a lot of time over the weekend trying to nail this story down. On Friday evening, an article appeared in the Huff Post, the former Huffington Post, a 900-word article by a writer who was obscure, to say the least, using the pen name of Yashir Ali. His full name is Yashir Ali Hedayat. And he wrote this article about Eric Bolling, one of the key on-air hosts at the Fox News Channel. Eric was hosting until Friday, or through Friday, the 5 p.m. program called The Specialists. And he also had a Saturday morning financial show, Cashin' In. But he's worked for Fox News and Fox Business Network for 10 years, has emerged as a reliable conservative and a strong and vocal supporter of Donald Trump. He also released a new book within the last month called The Swamp, which is doing quite well. So out of the blue comes this article in the Huffington Post, and it alleged that Eric Bolling, several years ago, had texted a lewd photograph of male genitalia to two or three of his female colleagues at Fox News. And the writer of this article claimed that he had 14 different sources at Fox News to confirm that this actually took place. And he didn't name any of these sources, and interestingly, he didn't quote any of the sources, his alleged sources, even anonymously. There are no quotes in the article. It's a poorly written, ridiculous article on any level. And yet, as soon as it was published, and this is on a slow news night as well, when usually, especially in summer and in August, the news cycle really slows down, but this was red meat for the mainstream media. And immediately, the media all over the United States, and in fact around the world, had jumped on this story that Eric Bolling was being accused of this and that. And actually, before Friday night was over, the Fox News Channel had suspended Eric's program for the following morning when it was supposed to air on Fox News. It had already been recorded. They pulled the show. They substituted a live news show instead. And by the next afternoon, that is Saturday afternoon, Fox News released a statement, a terse statement, one sentence saying Eric Bolling was suspended from all of his on-air activities at Fox News until his case could be investigated by the law firm Paul, Weiss. The reason it's described as Paul, Weiss is the entire firm's name is long, including a number of names, so whenever it's referred to, it's Paul, Weiss in short. Now, this is the law firm that was called in by Fox News executives over the past year to investigate other executives and on-air personnel who were accused of sexual harassment or whatever. In every single case after this internal investigation of these individuals like Roger Ailes, Bill O'Reilly, and several others who are lesser known, they were all terminated. So no one has withstood an investigation by the Paul Weiss lawyers. And I don't know if it's coincidental, but this is a very Democratic law firm, that is Democratic Party. Approximately 85% of the campaign contributions given by the attorneys in this firm go to Democrat candidates. And the firm just crowed, as I described it, that they hired former Homeland Security Cabinet Department Director under Obama, Jay Johnson. They hired him on January 23rd, 3 days after he left the previous regime, to be one of their top lawyers. So this is a Democrat firm through and through. Looks to me like it's doing the dirty work of the Murdoch boys, that is the sons of Rupert Murdoch, who basically are exerting tremendous influence on Fox News now. They are left of center. Their wives are even farther left of center. And I think they're engaging in a scorched earth policy there. And Eric Bolling is now in their targets. Now, to advance the story a bit, I started looking into this individual, Yashir Ali Hedayat, who wrote this Huffington Post story. By the way, he told another journalist that he spent 3 months researching the story and developing his sources. And, Doug, I know that you often work with sources. In fact, each of us, you and me, we've developed, I think, one source each at, of all places, Fox News, right? And you know how hard it is. It's not easy to develop a source, one source, at a place like Fox News, considering the climate of fear that is now ruling that place. And so for this character, Yashir Ali, who, well, I'll talk about his track record in a minute, his background, but for him to claim that he's developed 14 sources who are willing to spill the beans to him, basically a nobody who is a leftist on top of it, I mean, this just boggles the mind, in my opinion, that this could be accurate and true. But let's look at Mr.
I agree.
Let's look at Mr. Ali Hedayat for a moment, just to wrap him up with a bow. This guy is a political operative. He's from reportedly, according to the Cleveland Plain Dealer, he's from a wealthy family in Illinois. He didn't go to college. Instead, he went to Hollywood to try to work in the film industry, and he has a short list of credits working on some TV series and a couple of obscure films. A behind-the-scenes person, it's hard to tell what he did, but not any kind of major work, so it seems. And in 2006 or 7, he started working for Democrat candidates. In 2008, as a bundler, he raised six figures for the campaign of Hillary Rodham Clinton when she ran that year, 2008. The next year, he got a job paying $131,000 a year with San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom, political appointee job. He only kept it for 3 months because then he shifted over to Newsom's campaign for lieutenant governor, which was a successful campaign. If you look up Yashir Ali, his pen name, or Yashir Hedayat, Hedayat being his last name,
right,
the Federal Election Commission lists him as having given tens of thousands of dollars of campaign contributions in his own name to Democrat candidates. So at some point after around 2012, he moved to the East Coast and refashioned himself as a writer and started writing for the New Yorker magazine, the Huffington Post, and I forget what the third one is on his credits there, but some other left-of-center publication. And he doesn't have a very large output, but, you know, I think this story that he is putting out there and that the rest of the media has accepted without question, if it came from someone like, let's say, Bill Carter, who for many years was the respected New York Times reporter on the beat of television news. He wrote books about the subject, obviously had sources, and worked for decades on that beat. You say, well, you know, his track record, maybe it's a story with some real legs to it. But this guy is a political operative, a Democrat, extreme left-wing operative, and at the very least, he's got to be questioned. But meanwhile, when we see what this one hit of his could accomplish, a 900-word article with no corroboration, no evidence, no names attached to it, and no substantiation, immediately resulted in Eric Bolling being a step much closer to losing his entire career that he has worked 10 years at Fox News to build, and before that at CNBC, and before that on Wall Street, where he was a mercantile trader. So this is absolutely scary and alarming that an individual like this Ali Hedayat, with an extremely poorly sourced article in an extreme left-wing publication, could have this kind of impact literally immediately.
Yeah. The rapid, how quickly this happened really kind of surprised me. And by the way, Peter, folks, our guest is Peter Barry Chowka, and Peter, we're going to forego the bottom of the hour network break because we just have so much to talk about, and I don't want to waste any words and certainly any time because there's just so much, and the implications are so, to me, so significant. But let me step back for a minute here. You're talking about Eric Bolling, but you're talking about accusations. If I understand this correctly, that are years old, right? I mean, this didn't happen last week. This happened several years ago.
This was the quote of the writer. Several years ago, this happened. Now, let's assume, you know, immediately when I read this story and started reading the number of the thousands of articles and media reports that have now come out about this case in the last 3 days. And of course, I started thinking, well, what are the possibilities here? And I thought, well, maybe one possibility is, if the reporting is accurate to some extent, how about this for a possible scenario? A few years back, Anthony Weiner, the former representative, was exposed, no pun intended there, several times for tweeting pictures of what was described as his junk.
Right.
Pictures of his genitals, right? So I thought, well, I, like many other journalists, not for any prurient interest, but just wanting to see what's going on here, I looked for those photos. I was out of curiosity, and I can't remember if I found them or not. Probably better if I didn't. But, you know, Bolling, in the position he's in, I'm sure they were passing them around at Fox News. What if just innocently he texted one of them to one or two of his colleagues and said, hey, look at this. This is what all the hubbub is about.
Oh.
I mean, would this guy really, would Eric Bolling, with his intelligence, I mean, this is a guy who goes to mass every day. You know, I don't know. I don't know him personally or what his intimate background is, but, you know, I'm assuming there that's one possibility. Another, of course, is that the story is entirely made up.
Yeah.
And, you know, suggesting that is, how come we haven't heard any rumors about Bolling to this point? And how come nothing has been on the record even since the story broke, with the exception, I might add, of something that came out Saturday? And By the way, listeners and viewers who really want to get into this, I've got three articles at HagmanReport.com about the Eric Bolling case. The latest one I uploaded just a few hours ago, and it's a re-edit of an article that is at American Thinker too. But this is redone for the Hagman Report, and I put a different title on it. The title is "Haughty Socialist Professor Joins Attack on Eric Bolling and Fox News." Because I'm able, when I write for Hagman Report, to update articles as the news breaks. So this is the lead today, in my opinion, that on Saturday and since then, a socialist, feminist, really communist professor named Carolyn Heldman, PhD, who teaches politics, associate professor of politics at Occidental College. And that school, of course, is one of the alma maters of Barack Hussein Obama. He started his college career there. It's a very left-wing college in Los Angeles. And Professor Heldman, between 2008 and 2011, was a frequent guest on the Fox News Channel, by her own count, several hundred times, most frequently on Bill O'Reilly's program, where she was invited on time after time, essentially to debate Bill O'Reilly, because she was very far on the left, and he was kind of center-right. So she was his foil. Now, she, in her Facebook post on Saturday afternoon, 2 days ago, dipped her toe into this Eric Bolling story and thereupon grabbed her new 15 minutes of fame. She said in this post that Bolling, at some time in the past, she didn't specify when, had her on his program, I guess on the Fox Business Network at that point, and had called her Professor McHaughty on four occasions. This was according to her sexual harassment. And he called her up supposedly after these broadcasts and apologized, but then invited her to come to New York so she could be on the program live in studio. She interpreted that as sexual harassment. He invited her out to dinner, which she interpreted as sexual harassment. And finally, she alleges, I guess when she was in New York at one point, he took her on a tour of his office at Fox News and allegedly commented that that was the venue where he liked to have sex. So this is the sum total of her charges that Eric Bolling is a sexual deviant who is harassing women all over the place. Now, meanwhile, I hate to bring up Professor Heldman's personal background, but she's put it online herself. She's a radical feminist, and of course she's a lesbian. A couple of years ago, she tweeted a photograph of her and her, quote, wifey. Now, recently I found another current bio of her online at one of her sites when she describes her partner by one initial, and that initial is not the same as the wifey from 2 or 3 years ago. So is this relevant or not? I don't know. She's bringing up Bolling's alleged sexual predilection, so I think her life is fair game as well. But in any case, this is the sum total of what we have to this point, 3 days, not even 3 days into the story, or about 3 days into the story, with vehement denials by Eric Bolling and his attorney, Fox News throwing him under the bus, the news media smelling blood in the water and out to take him down, because the larger picture here, to cut to the chase, is that this is part of the big picture of the attempted takedown of President Donald Trump. Eric Bolling is a vocal supporter of Donald Trump on the Fox News Channel. It's almost like one by one we are seeing vocal supporters and executives who are conservative and support Donald Trump being weeded out of Fox News. And what are we going to be left with? Well, another one, by the way, who's on suspension for the last 5 or 6 weeks is Charles Payne. He had a nightly show on the Fox Business Network. It's an African-American gentleman, another Wall Street, successful financial background in Wall Street. He's been in the media for a number of years now, very, very popular in his appearances on Fox Business Network and on Fox News Channel, where he appears quite frequently. Well, about 5 weeks ago, actually it was July 5th, the National Enquirer published a story alleging that he had had an adulterous relationship with a Caucasian female guest of Fox News, which ran for 3 years, which he claims, he admitted it. He claimed it was mutually consensual. The woman, who I will not name at the moment, she has been named out there, but I'm currently not naming her. She insisted to the Enquirer and elsewhere that he was harassing her, saying, you've got to have sex with me or I won't have you on my show or whatever. But this went on for 3 years. And again, there was no evidence presented that what she alleged, namely harassment, which would be the potential civil action in this case, or something that would give Fox News license to fire this man, Charles Payne. I haven't seen any evidence to that effect. Now, again, he's being investigated by this law firm, the Paul Weiss Group.
Paul Weiss, yep.
He's still on suspension. In fact, at his Twitter, Charles Payne continues to tweet many times daily. He's piled up 75,000 tweets since 2009. So he's averaging 30 or more tweets a day. He's taken his Fox News identification off of his Twitter page, so he's probably seeing the writing on the wall there. But, you know, he's another major takedown, assuming he doesn't return, because he has not been as vocal in terms of supporting Trump, but he's a very, very vocal conservative, an articulate conservative who, of course, departs from the norm of most African Americans who you see on television or read their analysis, who are in the tank for the Democrats. And Charles Payne is not. He's a self-made man, pulled himself up by his bootstraps, and he's a conservative and a damn good articulate one. So here we go. There's two hits, and of course they have their eyes on the enemies of Trump and of Fox News, have their eyes on Sean Hannity next. I mean, it was last Tuesday when I was on, where the breaking news that day was the update on the Seth Rich case and former Detective Rod Wheeler and the then emerging effort to boycott the advertisers of Sean Hannity's program on Fox News, because he dipped his toe in the Seth Rich case, and his enemies say he's guilty for even going there. Now, that seems to have died down for the moment. I don't know if that story has legs. I mean, the way things are going, these stories, this full-spectrum assault that we see, stories come every day, sometimes several a day, and it seems like the end of the world, and then do they survive to the next day? Often they don't.
That's
true. At the moment, this Eric Bolling story is still there, and who knows if it'll be there tomorrow. I mean, any number of things could happen. I mean, you were talking with your last guest, among other things, about what's happening vis-a-vis North Korea. By the way, I want to acknowledge something Michael Snyder, your previous guest, said, because this, when he said this, I wrote it down immediately. I think this is an exact quote. He said, they want to use the system to wipe out our entire way of life. And I thought, that really sums up what we are talking about. I mean, he has the gift of putting it into a soundbite, and there it is.
Exactly. And that's why, and I'm so glad that you're on to explain this, just like Michael Snyder really encapsulated that. When you and we together talk about what's taking place within the media, and specifically with it at Fox News, and you know, making Sean Hannity the enemy, and of course the hit on Bowling and others. I think everyone needs to take a few steps back and realize that all of these little, not little, but all of these incidents are part of a larger mosaic of puzzle pieces that they want to destroy everyone around Donald Trump, ultimately taking Trump down and taking away, changing our way of life, and of course are attacking our constitutional republic. But and I said this on my morning show, and I quoted you or referenced you in this. Don't you feel as if Fox News or Sean Hannity, that's kind of like the last stopgap between complete negativity and complete, okay, we're going full progressive 24/7. The only person really that's standing up for our Constitution is Sean Hannity, perhaps Tucker Carlson, and a few others at Fox News, but the real tip of the spear is Sean Hannity, and that's the real target here. And once they get rid of him, of course, taking down Donald Trump will be much easier. That's the bigger picture, and that's why we're talking about this. Isn't that kind of where we're at here with this?
Absolutely. A few years ago, we couldn't have said that, because a few years ago, we hadn't sunk to the level that we have now with the mainstream media. I mean, the mainstream media now, for all intents and purposes, is a complete propaganda matrix for the deep swamp, or the deep state, the Washington swamp, and the New World Order. Put whatever name you want on it. The forces of evil have captured the mainstream media. And as you said in introducing me a week or so ago, the study came out of Harvard University analyzing the coverage, I guess it was a little longer than that, but analyzing the initial coverage during the Trump administration of the major electronic media. It was in the mid-90th percentile of negative reporting for the top media, and then it went slightly down from there to about 52% for Fox News, meaning pro and con Trump. By the way, I don't know if you saw this study, which I think came out yesterday, by, I think, the University of Kentucky. I haven't had a chance to go into the original study, but the Market Watch report on it analyzed the trustworthiness of a variety of media, both online and print and electronic, in other words, alternative or independent and mainstream, according to how people trust it. And the number one most trusted media, according to this survey, was The Economist, the British publication. Number two was just generic public television. Number three, Reuters. Number four, the British Broadcasting Corporation. By the way, this is a United States survey, so go figure. Numbers five and six were National Public Radio and Public Broadcasting. And I don't know why public broadcasting would be listed as both number six and public television as number two, but I have to delve further into this. But at the very bottom, coming up least trusted was Occupy Democrats, which I'm not familiar with. The next least trusted was Breitbart, BuzzFeed, followed by Breitbart, followed by social media, followed by Trump himself, I guess his tweets. And then InfoWars, Yahoo, the Internet, and the Huffington Post. So this could be another ridiculous throwaway survey, but I thought...
Wow.
I thought it was interesting, and I do want to... They claim... I went to the website for it today, but I just didn't have a chance to start delving into all the minutiae and the raw data, but I'm going to try to look into that to see if I can make any sense out of it, but it's... Looks like it might be a mildly entertaining read to see how they came up with these figures.
Tell us again what that poll was, because I want to look into that as well. What was the name?
Well, the Market Watch story, which caught my eye, was titled These are the most and least trusted news sources, published August 6th. And let me see. Okay. According to a survey from the University, the University of Missouri's Reynolds Journalism Institute, and there's a link in this MarketWatch article to that Journalism Institute. I don't know where I got Kentucky from it.
Okay.
The University of Missouri's Reynolds Journalism Institute. Now, I mean, right on the face of it, how many people in the United States read The Economist or
exactly.
listen to the BBC? And even, I mean, when NPR and PBS wind up near the top of this list in terms of most trusted, I really have to scratch my head. I mean, PBS, which has Charlie Rose and until recently had Bill Moyers, and of course even their nightly newscast is slanted to the left, and on top of that, they're most cities now have three or four PBS channels with a new digital spectrum,
right?
And around the clock they are running documentary after documentary, program after program. It's bash America, hate America, hold up the third world, you know, attack, support Black Lives Matter, you name it, revisionist history 101. So, you know, I really want to look into the data of this survey, but it's, probably wind up doing an article on it.
Very interesting. Yeah.
Really crazy.
And you mentioned The Economist. Okay. As being the most trusted in this case. Boy, that should set off some alarm bells there, but that aside. Okay. I want to look at that. I want to look at that as well. Getting back to the bowling story just for a moment, because I got a couple of emails here I see come in. Essentially, Carrie is asking about the bowling story. She writes, wasn't his primary accuser, didn't this happen 6 or 7 years ago and nothing since? Why now? Why is he being accused now? And if so, why was he suspended, given the length of time since the accusations were made? So that's a good question.
It is. I tried to nail down when this allegedly happened, and the only thing we have to go by is the writer of the article about it. That is Yashir Ali Hedayat, writing under the byline Yashir Ali, and he said several years ago. So I guess it's whatever the definition of several years is. It's more than two or three, less than whatever. It's again, on the face of it, it seems ridiculous. And by the way, when looking at Yashir Ali Hedayat, this article appeared in the Huffington Post, or Huff Post now calling itself. And I confirmed again today, which I thought I had read in the past, but supposedly, the HuffPost continues to not pay any of its contributors. Zero. Nada. So, Mr. Ali Hedayat told another journalist that he spent 3 months developing this story. So, he's either living on, maybe he's a breatharian or whatever it's called, you know, he can live on air alone, or somebody else is paying his way, and, we've seen he's helped to pay the way of in the past, these Democrat candidates, so it's not a stretch to wonder, I say, in my opinion, who might be supporting him now, since he doesn't seem to be getting it from the Huffington Post or Huff Post, which he is writing for. So, this whole undertaking, this whole enterprise, his story and the aftermath, it raises more questions than it answers, but a reason to pay attention to it is significant. It shows how anybody, any of us, high to low, can be taken out by what Sean Hannity once called a kill shot.
Yes.
I guess that's a hunting term, but it's very appropriate in this case. Somebody can, like this character, Ali Hedayat, can come out of the woodwork and through one article, 900 words, unsourced, in a far-left publication, deliver what looks like it may have been a kill shot on somebody whose reputation was unstained, untouched, before Friday night? I mean, this is absolutely mind-boggling and should chill the blood of every American, whether they're on the left or the right.
Exactly. Yeah, I totally agree with you on this. And as I looked at the, as I dissected the story as much as I could, and read your updates on this, and folks, Peter Barry-Chalka is our guest. You know him, good friend of the program. I reference him all of the time. He's got his finger on the pulse of the American media, specifically Fox News, as they represent this roadblock, this speed bump of the takedown of the conservative viewpoint. When I looked at this, so of course, the so-called sexting aside, this whole situation, with specifically with Mr. Bowling, has got to me is I don't know, the length of time, the character of the witnesses allegedly, and the thinness of the evidence to me. I just have a hard time with this. But it seems almost as if, are they going to try to do this to Sean Hannity, or can't they do this to Sean Hannity given his reputation? We already saw one lunatic come after him saying that he skimmed money from the benefits,
one of his charities,
exactly. Yeah. And then basically, essentially, walk back. These are my words now. Accusations of impropriety to accusations of just being creepy. Mm-hmm. So, having said that, is Sean Hannity the next target? And if so, is it going to be? Do you think it'll be in the same fashion? Because he seems to be above reproach in this kind of stuff.
Well, until Friday, I think we would have thought Eric Bowling was above reproach, too. I think it's possible for the enemies out there to try and to maybe succeed to take anyone down at this point. And Sean Hannity must be worried every morning when he gets up and checks the news to see if he's not going to be the next target. You know, I want to make this aside here when... as we're wondering, well, what's going on here with Fox News? You know, I dial it back to May of this year when the obese member of the Five, whose name is now escaping me, Bob Beckel.
Yeah.
Bob Beckel, the liberal you love to hate, was rehired by Fox in January after a stint in rehab and then a short time with CNN. He was brought back to the Five with much fanfare in January, and he appeared three or four nights a week on the program The Five, which was still on at 5 p.m. And lo and behold, in May, he was fired within minutes of allegedly using a racial slur or intemperate language to address an African-American Fox employee who reportedly had entered his office to try to help him with a computer problem. Now, my sources told me he did not use the N-word, and it was never reported what this alleged racial slur was, but he was out of there before the end of the day. Now, at the time, I thought, well, maybe he got what he deserved. Now, I'm not so sure for two reasons. Number one, this shows the hair trigger that's going on there at Fox now. I mean, if you're accused of something, you're out of there. Number two, his replacement, almost 5 days a week now on the Five, especially as it's gone to 9 p.m., is Juan Williams. And if given a choice between Bob Beckel and Juan Williams, I'll take Bob Beckel any day. In fact, interestingly, Beckel was and presumably still is a close friend of all people, Sean Hannity.
Yep.
And Sean Hannity has vouched both publicly and privately for the integrity of Bob Beckel. I mean, those two guys have bonded. And, you know, so I'm not going to sit here in judgment of Bob Beckel as a person. I couldn't stand his political persona on there. But, I mean, Juan Williams gets much more airtime than Beckel ever did. He's more smooth-talking. He's more convincing. And he's therefore more of a threat, I think, to clear discourse, where Beckel was just so off the wall you could immediately dismiss him and go on to the other four members of the five. So I wondered if this was part of a strategy on the part of someone there at Fox News who thought, hey, we'll play a little musical chairs here and we'll wind up with a stronger left-wing liberal on that show, The Five. But The Five, I am kind of happy to see, is not succeeding in its new primetime slot at 9 p.m. It's losing most nights in the ratings, although I think on Friday night, I checked the ratings right before I came on here, and as I do every day, but I think The Five may have won its time slot on Friday. It's kind of a yo-yo ratings battle now. It's a war of attrition with the primetime and even the full-day ratings among the three news channels, Fox, CNN, and MSNBC. But in the long, short haul here, the last 3 months, The Five is not doing well. And I predict that there's going to be a schedule change before the fall comes around. And I wouldn't be surprised if The Five moves elsewhere, maybe even back to 5 p.m., and there's a shift in the primetime schedule.
You know, this is one thing, and I've intimated this during my program. You've got very well. You talk with people that you talk with a number of people, including some household names. I've got a source comparing notes. It seems like the notes are. It seems like the information is pretty consistent with each other. And I go back to what you said about this this gentleman who wrote this article, 14 sources over the course of, you know, the length of time. Okay, I got to tell you, I know what I got to do for my source. And, I don't want to say I worry, but it could be a full-time job taking care of one.
Absolutely.
I'm looking at this, and there's so much wrong with everything that's taken place. Peter, there's just so much wrong. And I know that, there's so many vulnerabilities, I believe, but especially at Fox, which represents to me the microcosm of, the larger context. I mean, for example, you get rid of Sean Hannity, Fox is going to go progressive. That happens. Donald Trump doesn't have the flak, the cover fire needed to continue his agenda, and it's an easier takedown of Donald Trump had, you know, Sean Hannity, we'll say, been salvaged or kept. And what really is striking to me is we're seeing the biggest threat, in my view anyway, coming from within that corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Oh my word, the period coming from within.
You know, that brings to mind the coming from within destruction of the United States, wasn't it? Nikita Khrushchev, who said, you'll bury yourselves. You know, we can't defeat you militarily, communism, that is, but the change, the transformation will ultimately come from within. And what have we seen in the United States over the past 4 or 5 decades? The change to collectivism, socialism, and communism come from within. Until now, it has a stranglehold on pretty much every area of modern life, and one of the last areas to go is the mainstream, most popular media, which shines a new light on Fox News. As I said earlier, this were a few years ago. I mean, I can remember back to 2007, 2008. I was monitoring the ascent to power of Barack Hussein Obama very, very clearly for about a two-year period. And I was frequently checking in with MSNBC, which at the time was kind of like Fox is today. It was pretty much fair and balanced on the whole, at least its news coverage. And a look at it now, it's a complete propaganda arm for the left, as is CNN. I mean, CNN is arguably worse than MSNBC. It's unbelievable. So this means that out of all the mainstream media, either print, broadcast, or cable, Fox News Channel is the last one left that is fair and balanced, as proven by the Shorenstein Center at Harvard study, which found its coverage of Donald Trump in the first 3 months of his administration to be perfectly fair and balanced, while the others are off the charts to the left, unfair. So what, you know, and this has changed. I mean, I started writing intensively about the cable news wars, and Fox in particular, only 3 months ago in May. And the landscape since then, of course, I've learned a lot more in over those 3 months, but just looking back at it, the landscape has changed radically in 3 months. You know, I think back to the 1990s when talk show host Art Bell introduced the term the quickening.
Yes.
Meaning the pace was picking up so fast and technologically and information, and we were just going to lose control. Or even looking back further to 1970 with the publication of Toffler's Future Shock, and that word went into the lexicon. I think now we're into post-future shock, where the full-spectrum assault on us, on our bodies, minds, and spirits is total now. It's coming from so many directions, you know, toxicity in the food, in the air, in the water, the toxic news, the insanity of the coverage that we are subjected to, the popular culture, which people absorb incredibly, to an incredible extent, is absolutely the sewer. And, you know, an example there being, I mean, we talk about, we focus on the cable news industry, the cable news channels. Well, the reality is that on any given night in the United States, only one out of 35 adults over the age of 18 who is watching television is watching one of the three cable news channels. One out of 35. Because on any given night, between 5 and 6 million American adults are tuned into the cable news channels, all three of them. And there are 240 million, roughly, American adults ages 18 and older. So it's about one out of 35. So the other 34 who are watching TV are watching any of the other hundreds of channels and getting their kicks from that. I mean, more power to them if that's what they're into. Sports is very popular on cable TV. Reality shows, movies, old and new.
That's a significant... I think what you just said there is very significant because, look, I remember coming of age with Huntley and Brinkley and Cronkite.
Uncle Walter.
Yeah, you know, and the numbers back then... compare it to 1 in 35 today. Okay, there's really a dynamic change that has taken place, and that speaks directly to the education and the information and the control, I suppose, the control mechanisms, because I think the for at least in one instance or in one example, the deep state, whatever that you might consider that to be, uses the media as the choke point for the truth, and I think Wow, that number just is stunning to me. 1 in 35.
I was thinking of exactly what you're talking about earlier today, Doug, and I was remembering that when I was coming up, late 50s through the 60s, most major cities in the United States had 3 over-the-air broadcast channels, the network affiliates. The larger markets, the larger cities, had a handful of independent stations. In the New York metro area where I grew up, there were, 7 channels that you could get. One of them was non-commercial that later became public broadcasting, Channel 13, WNET. There were 6 commercial channels. Starting in the late 60s, early 70s, a handful of UHF channels started to be added.
Yep.
But they were harder to receive because you required a different antenna and the signal was weaker in that end of the band. But all those years, the networks held sway, and they would cover things like the political conventions every 4 years, gavel to gavel.
Yep.
I was sitting there in 1964, the first year I really paid attention to politics, glued to the TV. I watched 100% of the coverage as it was broadcast, every moment of the political conventions, the Democrats and the Republicans, just eating it up. And they would do daytime programming of the platform committee hearings, and Huntley Brinkley would be anchoring on NBC and Cronkite on CBS, and pretty much the whole country was tuned into that. If you were watching TV, that's what you would be watching, because there was nothing else except on a handful of independent channels. But it was kind of the national unifying glue. We were all tuned into it, and plus, with the limited options that Americans had then, they actually did real stuff in their lives. They went to meetings, fraternal organizations, town meetings, political meetings. They gathered, they debated, they got together with friends. Now we're much more isolated with our individual devices. First, we became isolated by our own TVs. A lot of kids were given their own TVs for their room.
Yep.
Now it's everybody from age, starting at age 2, if not earlier, has their own cell phone on which younger people are accessing almost all of their media. They're not even watching conventional television anymore. They're watching clips, YouTube videos, Facebook, things tweeted on their phone, and maybe they're sometimes binge watching a hot series on their phone. But we're in the midst of a major technological transformation, barely more than 10 years into the smartphone phenomenon. God only knows where this is going, but I don't think it's going to a good place. And it's been so fragmented. Our media landscape now has been so fragmented with narrowcasting that a top show now will get a rating of a 1 or a 2 in the demographic, which means 1 or 2 million viewers. It used to be, you know, there were shows in the past that got 50% of the total viewers would be watching a hit show.
Right.
Now it might be 3%, 5% at the max.
Yep.
You know, something like one of those America's Got Talent, you know, the new singing star shows, whatever it was called, that most popular one there. Can't even remember the name of it. I never watched these things, but, you know, where a new vocal talent is discovered and that's the hot show of the moment. Even those things don't get very big ratings. People are watching sports, movies, porn, whatever. So it's, and yes, that does contribute to the dumbing down, because there's, most of it is not intellectual. I mean, I was really interested in your conversation with Jackie at the outset.
This kind of brings us right back to that acronym, too long to listen or too long to read. And isn't that what this is all about? Just to bring this full circle.
Because that's in the back of my mind as I write these articles, and I think, who's actually going to, even if they start this article, are they going to finish this article? Or if they click on this link to a podcast or a video podcast, how far do they actually get before they switch to something else? And, you know, at least maybe they got to start. But I mean, that's the reality, what she was expressing. I was happy to hear you get into it with her, because it's really valuable insight that we have to recognize and try to deal with it somehow. We have to reach people where they are and say, hey, here's a wake-up call, you know, pay attention to this, and how do we package that so that it is attention-grabbing to an extent.
It's interesting.
Maybe what?
Well, yeah, no, it's interesting because we look at statistics for people who download or who listen live and who also listen by archive but don't download our shows, and we're talking in the upwards of hundreds of thousands, and there's something called an abandonment ratio, and there's also a completion number, abandonment and completion, and it's interesting to take a look at those two numbers. The abandonment, meaning somebody who doesn't finish the listening to the entire program, or a section of the program is broken down into sections. It's growing, not our show, but in general, and the completion is lowering. So in other words, what Jackie was talking about is the primary demographic is more interested in 30 seconds. If I can't get my news in 30 seconds, or if I can't get what I want in 45 seconds, I don't even want to listen to it, or I'll turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
And it's similar to a web page or website statistics, where you find that someone might click on a page, and then you see that they spent maybe 10 or 20 seconds there.
Yeah.
When it would obviously take longer than that just to skim the content of the page. So you realize that they're just grazing through and quickly clicked on to something else. So it's a challenge, and it's a dilemma. I mean, there is still a market, obviously, for long-form reporting, because some of the major publications like Vanity Fair and others run long articles, unfortunately usually from the far left. But, you know, we can only do what we can do, and try to reach the people who are out there and just do our best.
And I've got to say that, and folks, of all of the authors for the Hagmann Report, Peter Barry Chalka has crashed our servers because of the traffic more than any other author out there. So congratulations for him, because he writes great articles and very informative articles. But I really want to thank you for coming on. We're at the end of the program. And you know, I think we all really need to pray for and to push for Sean Hannity, and even drop him a line or send him a tweet, letting him know that you stand behind him, right? Good.
Absolutely. His Twitter, his Facebook, he's active on both, very easy to find. And also prayers for Eric Bolling.
Yes.
If the worst is true about him, I'd say it's on a scale of 1 out of 10, whereas somebody like Bill Clinton is 10 plus. So let's get real here, folks. Eric Bolling, at the worst, is guilty of hardly anything at all, and I doubt he's even guilty of that, quote unquote.
Thanks for being there. Thanks for being the watchdog that you are, and the gatekeeper that you are, and the investigative journalist that you are. And thank you for your written reports to the Hagmann Report, as well as American Thinker. Peter Barry Chalka, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Doug. I'm going to keep them coming, and look forward to our next conversation.
All right, sir. God bless you. Folks, until
God
tomorrow.
God bless you.
All right. Stay safe. God bless. Thank you, Todd, Global Star Radio Network. Thank you, BTR, Bob at BTR, and Maria. God bless you. And it's Blog Talk Radio. Until tomorrow, stay safe. May God bless you.